Chapter 45. Mr. James Harthouse passed a whole night and a day in a state of so much hurry that the world, with its best glass in his eye, would scarcely have recognized him during that insane interval as the brother gem of the honorable and jocular member. He was positively agitated. He several times spoke with an emphasis similar to the vulgar manner. He went in and went out in an unaccountable way, like a man without an object. He rode like a highwayman. In a word, he was so horribly bored by existing circumstances that he forgot to go in for boredom in the manner prescribed by the authorities. After putting his horse at Coketown through the storm, as if it were a leap, he waited up all night, from time to time ringing his bell with the greatest fury, charging the porter who kept watch with delinquency in withholding letters or messages that could not fail to have been entrusted to him, and demanding restitution on the spot. The dawn coming, the morning coming, and the day coming, and neither message nor letter coming with either, he went down to the country house. There, the report was, Mr. Bounderby away, and Mrs. Bounderby in town. Left for town suddenly last evening. Not even known to be gone until receipt of message, importing that a return was not to be expected for the present. In these circumstances he had nothing for it but to follow her to town. He went to the house in town. Mrs. Bounderby not there. He looked in at the bank. Mr. Bounderby away, and Mrs. Sparsit away. Mrs. Sparsit away? Who could have been reduced to sudden extremity for the company of that griffin? Well, I don't know, apostrophe said Tom, who had his own reasons for being uneasy about it. She was off somewhere at daybreak this morning. She's always full of mystery. I hate her. So I do that white chap. He's always got his blinking eyes upon a fellow. Apostrophe, where were you last night, Tom? Apostrophe, apostrophe, where was I last night? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Tom. Come. I like that. I was waiting for you, Mr. Harthouse, till it came down as I never saw it come down before. Where was I to? Where were you, you mean? Apostrophe, I was prevented from coming detained. Apostrophe, detained. Apostrophe, apostrophe, murmured Tom. Two of us were detained. I was detained looking for you, till I lost every train but the mail. It would have been a pleasant job to go down by that on such a night and have to walk home through a pond. I was obliged to sleep in town after all. Apostrophe, where? Apostrophe, apostrophe, where? Why, in my own bed at Bounderby's. Apostrophe, did you see your sister? Apostrophe, apostrophe, how the deuce, apostrophe, returned Tom, staring, could I see my sister when she was 15 miles off? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cursing these quick retorts of the young gentleman to whom he was so true a friend, Mr. Harthouse disembarrassed himself of that interview with the smallest conceivable amount of ceremony, and debated for the 100th time what all this could mean. He made only one thing clear. It was, that whether she was in town, or out of town, whether he had been premature with her who was so hard to comprehend, or she had lost courage, or they were discovered, or some mischance or mistake, at present incomprehensible, had occurred, he must remain to confront his fortune, whatever it was. The hotel where he was known to live when condemned to that region of blackness, was the stake to which he was tied. As to all the rest, what will be, will be. So, whether I am waiting for a hostile message, or an assignation, or a penitent remonstrance, or an impromptu wrestle with my friend Bounderby in the Lancashire manner which would seem as likely as anything else in the present state of affairs, I'll dine, apostrophe said Mr. James Harthouse. Bounderby has the advantage in point of weight. And if anything of a British nature is to come off between us, it may be as well to be in training. Apostrophe, therefore he rang the bell, and tossing himself negligently on the sofa, ordered some dinner at 6 with a beefsteak in it, apostrophe, and got through the intervening time as well as he could. That was not particularly well. Therefore he remained in the greatest perplexity, and, as the hours went on, and no kind of explanation offered itself, his perplexity augmented at compound interest. However, he took affairs as coolly as it was in human nature to do, and entertained himself with the facetious idea of the training more than once. It wouldn't be bad, apostrophe he yawned at one time, to give the waiter 5 shillings, and throw him. Apostrophe at another time it occurred to him, or a fellow of about 13 or 14 stone might be hired by the hour. Apostrophe but these jests did not tell materially on the afternoon, or his suspense, and, sooth to say, they both lagged fearfully. It was impossible, even before dinner, to avoid often walking about in the pattern of the carpet, looking out of the window, listening at the door for footsteps, and occasionally becoming rather hot when any steps approached that room. But, after dinner, when the day turned to twilight, and the twilight turned to night, and still no communication was made to him, it began to be, as he expressed it, like the Holy Office and slow torture. Apostrophe, however, still true to his conviction, that indifference was the genuine high-breeding, the only conviction he had, he seized this crisis as the opportunity for ordering candles and a newspaper. He had been trying in vain, for half an hour, to read this newspaper, when the waiter appeared and said, at once mysteriously and apologetically, "Beg your pardon, sir. You're wanted, sir, if you please." Apostrophe, a general recollection, that this was the kind of thing the police said to the swell mob, caused Mr. Harthouse to ask the waiter in return, with bristling indignation, what the devil he meant by wanted. "Beg your pardon, sir. Young lady outside, sir, wishes to see you." Apostrophe, outside? Where? Apostrophe, outside this door, sir. Apostrophe, giving the waiter to the personage before mentioned, as a blockhead duly qualified for that consignment, Mr. Harthouse hurried into the gallery. A young woman whom he had never seen stood there, plainly dressed, very quiet, very pretty. As he conducted her into the room, and placed a chair for her, he observed, by the light of the candles, that she was even prettier than he had at first believed. Her face was innocent and youthful, and its expression remarkably pleasant. She was not afraid of him, or in any way disconcerted. She seemed to have her mind entirely preoccupied with the occasion of her visit, and to have substituted that consideration for herself. "I speak to Mr. Harthouse?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, she said, when they were alone. "To Mr. Harthouse." Apostrophe, he added in his mind, "and you speak to him with the most confiding eyes I ever saw, and the most earnest voice, though so quiet, I ever heard." Apostrophe, "if I do not understand, and I do not, sir," said Sissy, "what your honor as a gentleman binds you to, in other matters." The blood really rose in his face as she began in these words. "I am sure I may rely upon it to keep my visit secret, and to keep secret what I am going to say. I will rely upon it, if you will tell me I may, so far trust apostrophe, you may, I assure you. Apostrophe, I am young, as you see. I am alone, as you see. In coming to you, sir, I have no advice or encouragement beyond my own hope." Apostrophe, he thought, "but that is very strong," apostrophe, as he followed the momentary upward glance of her eyes. He thought, "besides, this is a very odd beginning. I don't see where we are going." Apostrophe, "I think," apostrophe, said Sissy, "you have already guessed whom I left just now." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "I have been in the greatest concern and uneasiness during the last 24 hours, which have appeared as many years," apostrophe, he returned, "on a lady's account. The hopes I have been encouraged to form, that you come from that lady, do not deceive me, I trust." Apostrophe, "I left her within an hour." Apostrophe, "at." Apostrophe, apostrophe, "at her father's." Apostrophe, Mr. Harthouse's face lengthened in spite of his coolness, and his perplexity increased. "Then I certainly," apostrophe, he thought, "do not see where we are going. Apostrophe, she hurried there last night. She arrived there in great agitation, and was insensible all through the night. I live at her father's, and was with her. You may be sure, sir, you will never see her again, as long as you live. Apostrophe, Mr. Harthouse drew a long breath, and, if ever man found himself in the position of not knowing what to say, made the discovery beyond all question, that he was so circumstanced. The childlike ingenuousness with which his visitor spoke, her modest fearlessness, her truthfulness which put all artifice aside, her entire forgetfulness of herself in her earnest quiet holding to the object with which she had come, all this, together with her reliance on his easily given promise which in itself shamed him, presented something in which he was so inexperienced, and against which he knew any of his usual weapons would fall so powerless, that not a word could he rally to his relief. At last he said, "So startling an announcement, so confidently made, and by such lips, is really disconcerting in the last degree. May I be permitted to inquire, if you are charged to convey that information to me in those hopeless words, by the lady of whom we speak?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have no charge from her. Apostrophe, the drowning man catches at the straw. With no disrespect for your judgment, and with no doubt of your sincerity, excuse my saying that I cling to the belief that there is yet hope, that I am not condemned to perpetual exile from that lady's presence. Apostrophe, there is not the least hope. The first object of my coming here, sir, is to assure you that you must believe that there is no more hope of your ever speaking with her again than there would be if she had died when she came home last night. Apostrophe, must believe? But if I can't, or if I should, by infirmity of nature, be obstinate and won't, apostrophe, it is still true. There is no hope. Apostrophe, James Harthouse looked at her with an incredulous smile upon his lips, but her mind looked over and beyond him, and the smile was quite thrown away. He bit his lip, and took a little time for consideration. Well, if it should unhappily appear, apostrophe, he said, after due pains and duty on my part, that I am brought to a position so desolate as this banishment, I shall not become the lady's persecutor. But you said you had no commission from her? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have only the commission of my love for her, and her love for me. I have no other trust than that I have been with her since she came home, and that she has given me her confidence. I have no further trust than that I know something of her character and her marriage. Oh, Mr. Harthouse, I think you had that trust too. Apostrophe, he was touched in the cavity where his heart should have been, in that nest of addled eggs, where the birds of heaven would have lived if they had not been whistled away by the fervor of this reproach. I am not a moral sort of fellow, apostrophe, he said, and I never make any pretensions to the character of a moral sort of fellow. I am as immoral as need be. At the same time, in bringing any distress upon the lady who is the subject of the present conversation, or in unfortunately compromising her in any way, or in committing myself by any expression of sentiments towards her, not perfectly reconcilable with, in fact, with the domestic hearth, or in taking any advantage of her father's being a machine, or of her brother's being a whelp, or of her husband's being a bear, I beg to be allowed to assure you that I have had no particularly evil intentions, but have glided on from one step to another with a smoothness so perfectly diabolical that I had not the slightest idea the catalogue was half so long until I began to turn it over. Whereas I find, apostrophe, said Mr. James Harthouse, in conclusion, that it is really in several volumes. Apostrophe, though he said all this in his frivolous way, the way seemed, for that once, a conscious polishing of, but an ugly surface. He was silent for a moment, and then proceeded with a more self-possessed air, though with traces of vexation and disappointment, that would not be polished out. After what has been just now represented to me, in a manner I find it impossible to doubt I know of hardly any other source from which I could have accepted it so readily, I feel bound to say to you, in whom the confidence you have mentioned has been reposed, that I cannot refuse to contemplate the possibility, however unexpected, of my seeing the lady no more. I am solely to blame for the thing having come to this end, and, I cannot say, apostrophe he added, rather hard up for a general peroration, that I have any sanguine expectation of ever becoming a moral sort of fellow, or that I have any belief in any moral sort of fellow whatever. Apostrophe, Sissy's face sufficiently showed, that her appeal to him was not finished. You spoke, apostrophe he resumed, as she raised her eyes to him again, of your first object. I may assume, that there is a second to be mentioned? Apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, will you oblige me by confiding it? Apostrophe, Mr. Harthouse, apostrophe returned Sissy, with a blending of gentleness and steadiness, that quite defeated him, and with a simple confidence in his being bound, to do what she required, that held him at a singular disadvantage, the only reparation, that remains with you, is to leave here immediately and finally. I am quite sure, that you can mitigate in no other way the wrong, and harm you have done. I am quite sure, that it is the only compensation you have left it in your power to make. I do not say, that it is much, or that it is enough, but it is something, and it is necessary. Therefore, though without any other authority than I have given you, and even without the knowledge of any other person than yourself and myself, I ask you to depart from this place tonight, under an obligation never to return to it. Apostrophe, if she had asserted any influence over him beyond her plain faith in the truth and right of what she said, if she had concealed the least doubt or irresolution, or had harbored for the best purpose. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.